Hello and welcome once again to another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. I am, as always, the Blue Liner on Point. And before I begin, want to welcome some potential new listeners from a Caps fan I met on Twitter just the other night watching the BJs try to, the Caps blowing something against the I'm getting myself in all kinds of trouble here. The Blue Jackets game that we won, or they won, the Caps won, barely. Always exciting against the CBJ. Anyway, want to welcome a new potential group of listeners. Caps fan Anna Knox. I was chatting with her, like I said, with the game against the Blue Jackets. Some tense moments at the end there, but Caps thankfully pulled it out. Messaging back and forth, commenting about the game. And I casually happened to mention that I have this little podcast. And she said, great, I'm interested. I'm part of a fan group. And hey, I mean, I'm begging for new listeners all the time, trying to grow the podcast. So, good times, good conversation. Wanna get some non-Caps information out of the way here. And actually it was so much, but gonna try and get through this as quickly as I can because there is so much. Don't wanna waste too much time on it. The big news, of course, that happened within the last 2 weeks, the recent announcement from the NHL brass that, no, we're not going to allow the professionals to go, the world's best players to go to the preeminent hockey tournament that is the Olympics next year in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Well, I mean, let's get the obvious stuff out of the way. This obviously did not and is not sitting well. Is not sitting well with one Alexander Ovechkin, not to mention quite a few other players on the Caps who have represented their respective countries internationally before. Obvious as Ovi would say, as he tends to say in a lot of his interviews, but he has made plain his desire and his plan, quite frankly, to go anyway. And, the owner of the Caps, majority owner, chairman, of Monumental Sports and Entertainment, Ted Leonsis, has supported him in that. Well, let me just throw in my two cents before I get to the ultimate ramifications here. I realize Bettman and his big bald bulldog of a lapdog, Bill Daly, are just mouthpieces in this whole freaking game. But I can't help but think those two idiots had a pretty big hand in all this. And the reason I say that is because the spotlight isn't or would not be on the NHL during the Olympics. Yeah, so if the spotlight's not on them, it's not on the NHL, it won't be on them. So why would they support this? But my two cents is that not only is the NHL administration's arrogance showing through again, it could not be more hypocritical in that they have made intonations that they are going to the next Olympics in 2022, which is, guess where? China. They're planning an exhibition, a preseason exhibition, with the Vancouver Canucks and the LA Kings going there this offseason. Okay, you won't go to Korea, but you're already making inroads in China. 'Cause Wow, there's a billion people there. You sell one hockey puck to a billion people, guess how much money you make? Gee, I wonder. Could not be more hypocritical. It's obvious. The NHL is all about the dollar. They're not about growing the game. They're all about the dollar. Anybody who couldn't see that in the world cash grab this past offseason is blinder than a bat. But the ultimate ramifications on this is, it takes away some of the luster from what is supposed to be the world's preeminent professional hockey league. Okay? It's not the KHL. Okay? It's not any other league around the world. The world's preeminent professional hockey league is the National Hockey League and has been for some time. Now, the Stanley Cup playoffs that are coming up are the best annual showcase, but an even brighter light on the talent that this ultimate league has can be no brighter than the Olympics. Always has been and always will be. Olympic gold is worth just about as much as Stanley Cup silver. And the owners putting up a front, hemming and hawing about insurance and travel costs and all this other BS, while they would put out just the same to be able to make even more money by being exposed in China. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to see Bettman and Daly exposed anywhere. But the point being, you're willing to go to one market, but not the other, when ultimately it's the same market, Asia. And this was pointed out fairly well by the guys on the Puck Pat podcast. Could not be more hypocritical about this, but it takes away the luster from the league that ultimately is going to cost them. That's my two cents about it, and that's the ultimate ramification. And they don't see it now, but you know they're going to pay for it later. They will, I promise you. Okay, well, moving on. So the also big news on the international front. I didn't mention this last show. I should have. As you all know, I like to put the spotlight on the women's game as much as I can. Well, as it turns out, the U.S. national women's hockey team was in a dispute with USA Hockey about comparative pay. And that's what I'm going to call it. I'm not going to call it equal pay, because it seems to update the Neanderthals of the game. The women shouldn't get pay equal pay because they don't draw as big a crowd. Ah, yes, maybe, but they do have better success than the men's team. When was not last time the men's team even won a medal? I hear a lot of crickets chirping. You don't hear them, but I do. So compared to the women, yeah, not as successful. But I do give credit to the men's team who, in solidarity, said, well, you know what? We're not going to go to the world championships either. The women's team said, well, we need to renegotiate our contract here or we're not going to go. We're not going to go to the world championship. And the men's team threatened to do the same if they did not negotiate a better deal, they didn't hammer out something that was a little bit better, a little bit more favorable. Now, I'm not gonna throw out any numbers here, but suffice it to say, what the women's team was paid was astronomically lower, was nowhere near, not even anywhere near a living wage. And that is all the women's team was asking for. Something closer to a living wage. And as I understand it, again, I'm not going to throw out numbers, but as I understand it, the new deal that was ultimately agreed to basically puts the women's team members on par with a decent salary. I would call a decent salary of, and this is why I don't want to get into numbers, because you slide down that slippery slope into politics, but basically, it allows the members of the women's team to earn a wage that is probably comparable to someone in the United States middle class, towards the upper end of that. Some of them maybe not six figures or so, but say about $80,000 a year. I given the amount of success that they've had, I'm not entirely sure that that's fair, but it's certainly a lot better. It's a stepping stone. It's ground that they've earned, that they've gained. It's better. So I'm sure that that will be something to work off of when it comes time to work out a new deal. But point being, thankfully, that they did earn something. They did accomplish something of a better deal, and that they will be compensated quite a bit more fairly, I would say, is the best word. I don't care if I piss off the Neanderthals who say the women shouldn't be earning $1 million. Nobody's saying they want $1 million, by the way. They want to be paid fairly. Nobody's even saying equal pay. They want to be paid fairly. All right? Scraping together food, you know, living off of a less than five-figure salary, having to have a second job, and playing for the U.S. national team at the same freaking time isn't fair pay. Now they can concentrate on the game like they should. All right, so moving on from that, we have, I want to talk about, this is about as non-caps as you can get, but I want to talk about the exploits of one Mr. Sidney Crosby within the last 2 weeks. And I'm sure some of you have heard that about what he's been doing. And of course, the first incident, as it were, is the fact that he went after one Mr. Ryan O'Reilly in a game against the Sabres and decided he'd go into the proctology business, shall we say, using his stick to examine the old family jewels and that area of his body. And wasn't very pleasant, as you could see from the reaction of one Mr. O'Reilly. I think he should change his name to Ryan O'Reilly, and he'll certainly need to rent a set of parts after that. But I'm sure he wasn't feeling too good. And of course, not all that much longer after that was the game against the Ottawa Senators, where he, again, and I don't know. I'm beginning to think Crosby's compensating for something because he's swinging his stick an awful lot lately. But anyway, he had that two-handed slash on Mark Mathot that basically severed the tip of his finger off. We all saw the pictures, you know, and the internet is waving the bloody finger. Not going to get into that. We all know what he did. And I don't know what's gotten into him, or if he's just trying to present some sort of facade or what, or I don't know. He obviously didn't put any thought into what he did, because that's just not, well, it's not usually how he plays. Let's just say that. But even more objectionable, I would say, is the fact that on neither incident, no penalty was called, let alone no suspension. Now, the whole discussion was, well, you can't do anything about it because slashing is a part of the game and you really shouldn't punish him. It really wouldn't be fair. It's a hockey play. Really, it's a hockey play when somebody gets hurt. Slashing, last I saw, was a punishable offense by at the very least a minor penalty and the very most a suspension of some sort. You can suspend someone for an excessive slash. You can suspend someone for causing injury. Have you forgotten that, Department of Player Safety? Obviously you have. But that, even more than the fact it's Crosby doing this and getting away with it, my objection with it is that not only was there no suspension, there was never even any penalty called on the ice when it happened at all. This does not bear a good precedent now that we're so close to the playoffs. Is this what we can expect? That everything's going to be let go? Stuff like this is going to be let go? You know there is going to be a terrible outcry the very first time a player of significance is hurt by this, is unavailable to play, unavailable for his team in the playoffs. You know damn well that's what's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And that is what I'm worried about, is there will come a time where, because of the fact that the league, but through its shoddy on-ice officiating, frankly, will not call this. And it will result in an injury. I'm curious as to what will happen then, but I don't think it'll be very long before we do find that out. Now, kind of tilting along the same vein as that towards something about the Caps. I'm sure we all saw in the Minnesota game how, and I want to believe it was Toronto that was the cause of this, but I think the on-ice officials had a hand in this too. The blatant disregard for the offsides rule. Now this has been the source of some debate recently as well, and the league has decided, well, we're not going to take away the replay. Well, I wasn't part of the group that howled about take it out of the game, but I think I'm going to be part of that camp, because my thought is that if you're not going to get it right, at least most of the time, if you're not going to follow your own rule, don't muck up the game and throw in an extra replay that isn't going to make any damn bit of difference. Anyway, take it out. Get rid of it. Just put it back to the old way where the linesman had to judge by his own eyesight to determine whether or not it was offsides or not. Just leave it like that. Take the replay equation out of it. I would rather return some sentiment of flow back to the game than have it mucked up by, another replay just because, you know, a coach can, or the league can decide it. They can step in within the last 5 minutes or something like that. I can't remember the rule. But yeah, that's my feeling on that. So with that, that is pretty much the end of the non-Caps news, non-Caps segment. So I want to transition now. I mentioned earlier, I'm begging for listeners because I'm looking for a way to, of course, make the podcast bigger and, make a little extra money out of it. Who couldn't use a little extra of the green? But, I'm also a big proponent of the act as if principle. Basically, if you act like you've been there, eventually you're gonna get there. So while this is not an official sponsor, I want to follow through on a promise I made to a friend of mine, and she really is a friend of mine, Michelle Scholand. Went to high school with her. If you're that bloody curious about my life, we went to Arundel High School together, and she has an amazing company, amazing product. Company's called By the Bay Botanicals. And of course, you can visit her website, www.bythebaybotanicals.com. That's BYTHEBAYBOTANICALS.com. Mainly an online shop. She did have a brick and mortar place in Westminster, Maryland. Had to give that up. That was a major business decision for her, but we won't get too much into that. Everything's online now. She has an amazing line of products. Basically, they are handcrafted, as the website says, as her logo says, handcrafted, beautifully scented gifts. And as I said, I can't say enough. It's an amazing line of products. Lavender bath teas, wax tarts and melts, room sprays, car fresheners, and of course, the signature palm wax candles. Yes, why the heck am I talking about stuff like this on a hockey podcast? Well, you get your own podcast and you see how you do, and you try to get your own sponsors. I'm helping out a friend here. End of discussion. Anyway, these are amazing products. I've bought some of these myself. I am not ashamed to admit, and they are absolutely wonderful. I bought some to give as gifts to my relatives. I kept some for myself. The wax candles are absolutely amazing. They are, they're not only beautiful to look at, they're aesthetically pleasing. They look good in your room. And of course, they actually smell great. And I don't know how Michelle does it, but she is actually a magician with wax and these scents. And I'm just going to give you a quick little rundown of some of the scents that she offers. Baltimore Berry Blush, Cambridge Classic Lavender, Chesapeake Bay Mist, Cumberland Christmas Tree. There's a root beer scent. That's what got me hooked. Root beer, for crying out loud. I could go on. I wish I had more time, but I could go on and on. Let's just say, Michelle, she's a Willy Wonka of these things, because the snozzberries smell like freaking snozzberries. If there was one, there wasn't actual snozzberry, she could make a candle smell like one. If there actually was one, I'm telling you. And now she has a new signature product out. It's called My Staycation Box. I highly recommend this. And what this is it's a collection of, it's basically a vacation in a box. It's a collection of products that carry scents from a potential destination. This month is Greece. And so imagine, I'm one of those people that, and I'm sure a lot of you out there are like this, I'm one of those people that you tend to enjoy something a little more when you get your senses involved, and nothing greater than the sense of smell. So it's, again, it's like a vacation in the box, makes you feel like you're there. Amazing products. I can't say enough. I wish I had 10 minutes to just go over up and down the line of products that she's got that are absolutely wonderful. And I can attest, because I actually have these in my home, and my relatives were all blown away by these products, the candles. I got my mother a candle that was a Maine pine Christmas tree. She absolutely loved it, loved how it literally lit up the room and it made everything smell like a fresh pine tree. And it was amazing. And so and my mother doesn't like anything. So I'll just leave it at that. So I don't want to go on too much longer, but I'm, like I said, I'm doing a favor for a friend. I would not go on about this if I didn't know it was an absolute winner of a product. But it is. So once again, that's By the Bay Botanicals. And that's, she has a website. So do a search if you want on Google. By the Bay, B-Y, the Bay, B-A-Y, as in Chesapeake Bay. And it's an all Maryland product, by the way. So you Maryland listeners out there, you want to back her up on this. Again, she's Maryland girl all her life. It's Michelle Scholand, and state-based business, and she's got, I rattle off a few of the scent names. She's got Chesapeake Bay in there, and of course, certain products, you want to look through the website, but certain products go towards the health of the bay, of course, never a bad thing. So I'll just close with this. I give her my ultimate endorsement. I'm not getting paid for this. I kind of wish I were, but even though I'm not, I would still, you know, I don't care. I would shout to the world if I could. And I am through this podcast that these products are great. They make the world smell better. They light up your room. You will be proud and happy to own one. Give it a try. That's By the Bay Botanicals. Young lady's name is Michelle Scholand. Check it out. You won't regret it. Okay, so full transition now to caps-related news. I'm not going to be that guy, but our We Caps fans are noted for our ability to point out the flaws. And boy, were there flaws in one of the recent games, that being against the Phoenix Coyotes. I don't know what it is when they go out west, but it doesn't bode well because they're going to have to, if they're going to go far in the playoffs, then they're going to have to play a few games out west, I would think. Because it's inevitable if they go to the final, all right? Whether it's San Jose or Calgary or, I don't know. I don't know who's going to be there at the end, but it just seems like lately when it's prolonged travel, they don't do so well. Now, I want to know what that is because they threw up an absolute stinker of a game. I don't know what it was, but the first 25 minutes of play were absolutely horrid. I don't know if it was the fact that the Coyotes were completely out of it as far as the playoff race by then, and they thought it was going to be a throwaway game, or it was just they got distracted by the good weather. I don't know. But it's got to stop. It has got to stop. The offense was flat. The defense was asleep. Hell, Braden Holtby just, I don't know. He looked like he was out of it. I don't know. And I'm doing this as a favor to another friend of mine, my best friend, Pete Fisher. Happy birthday, by the way, Pete, because he saw the game and he was baffled because he's a fan of the both teams. He grew up in this area too, but, he went to school at, ASU, go Sun Devils. And, so his other team is the Coyotes. So while he was happy to see them strike out a win, I don't know. I don't know. The Caps look bad. Very bad. I mean, they're entitled to throw up a stinker once in a while, but we all thought they righted the ship at least when they shook off that 5-game losing streak. But I mean, that was bad. It's one thing to lose by one goal, okay? Or two goals. Or whatever. But I don't know. They were never in this game. And this was a game against a team that is probably, well, it's definitely one of the worst in the league, if not the worst. Now, I've told you before, I expect them to get better, and they will get better. I can guarantee you that in the future, they will be fighting for a playoff spot, if not in the playoffs. But right now, they're stinking up the joint worse than 10 guys after they've had a banquet at a Taco Bell. And they kicked the collective arse of the team that is a couple of wins away from winning the President's Trophy again. And I don't know. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. But as it turns out, it was a momentary lapse because they did come out and win the next couple of games, one of them being against the Blue Jackets, as we discussed. That was a bit of a nail biter, but they ramped up. In fact, that was the very next game, not the last of the road trip. Tonight's the last of the road trip against the Leafs. Now, moving on to that, this game, watch this game closely tonight. Toronto is probably, I'm thinking that might have been what the problem was. The Caps did not have their legs. The Coyotes did. Coyotes are a much younger team on average and have the legs. And Toronto, as bad as they've been, this has been a bust out year for them. They've got a lot of rookies, Mitch Marner, Austin Matthews, of course, William Nylander. Yes, son of that Nylander. And they're fast. They're hard to keep up with. They're hard to play against. And they've given the Caps fits this year. So, and what did we all say? What was the drum we all banged as Caps fans that we saw against the Penguins? They were too quick for us. The bottom two pairings did us in because we could not keep up with them. Well, this again, tonight's game will be a wonderful test of that. See if they can keep up with a team that's pretty fast. Pretty fast on the skates. Probably one of the fastest team, if that not the fastest. And watch, I would keep an eye on, my focus would be on Carlson, because his game is all about the transition. So if the flow goes the other way and he's responsible for manning up in his own end, okay, that's what you got to watch for. And I would watch for Orlov as well, the way he moves the puck. And I would watch for Orpik as well. See if he displays the physicality necessary to wear down the speed. That's the key right there. So that, as Caps fans, is something we want to watch. Not so much the offense. We know that's there. But the decor, you want to keep an eye on. And especially those three guys, Orpik, Orlov, and Carlson. You want to make sure that those guys have their game under them, have their legs under them, because those three are the key to neutralizing, I think, the speed, any team that's got any speed. And so that's what you want to watch for tonight. And I guarantee you it's going to be critical, and it's going to be a good gauge of where the Caps really are, as far as a playoff caliber quality team. So that being said, I want to recognize, throw some recognition out. The NHL does their three stars of the week, and guess who was number two? Not a certain Swedish player. Now, it's not good to be number two in anything. You never want to be number two. I'll let you guys mull that over for another few seconds. Second star of the week, not bad. And so without further ado, I want to throw some congratulations to Marcus Johansson, MJ90, number 90. And say that this is a well-deserved recognition. He is having a career year. I don't want to say a breakout season, because after, I think last year was his breakout season. I think this year he's building on that. Obviously he's eclipsed the 50-point mark. So he's obviously getting better. And this past week, he notched one goal and seven assists for a total of 8 points over the course of last week's games. He's in on every play. He's doing the dirty work in the corners and in front of the net. And he keeps going back for more. And I can't say enough good about him. And I know I've been down on him in the past, but I think when he's on his game more than most, the Caps have a chance to produce some consistent offense, to cause some problems for other teams' defenses. I think that may have been why in the past, because his game wasn't quite, shall we say, developed in previous years. I think now that his game, and I've said this before, I know, ad nauseum, but now that his game has rounded completely into form, where he's doing the digging in the corners, he's got that net front presence, he knows where to find people, and he can shoot when he needs to. Don't count on him so much for the shot. Okay, that's not really the top part of his game. But his job is to make the plays happen. Make the offense happen is his job. Okay, so you're not going to see him, you're not going to see him, you know, notch 30, 40, 50, 60 goals. Okay. That's not him. His job is to create the offense, pull the chances out of thin air and make them happen. That is his job. And that's why you don't often see him on the score sheet. You don't see him get recognized, but now he's ramping his game up. Now that we're this close to the playoffs, 4 or 5 games away from the playoffs, 4 counting tonight, that's good to see that he's getting hot, and that is very good to see. So I think the Caps offense will be running on all cylinders thanks to his efforts, and it's going to be nothing but great. So now that we are down to the last few games, let's give a quick scan of the schedule. Tonight, of course, in the Airhead Canada Center against the Maple Leafs. Very next night, it's back to the Verizon Center for an 8 o'clock tilt against the New York Rangers. Another good test, I think. On the weekend, last road game of the season on Saturday, up to the TD Bank North Garden against the Bruins. Another good test. They're a desperate team, holding on to one of the last playoff spots in the Eastern Conference. And then last game at home, back at the good old Verizon Center, against the Panthers. So that's kind of a strange way to end the season, 2 back-to-backs. So the last game's on Sunday, the 9th. Playoffs begin in earnest on the 12th. Going to be interesting how the schedule shakes out because, of course, the Wizards have clinched their division over in the NBA. So both DC teams are in it, in the thick of it now. So scheduling is going to be very interesting. Tends to be dicey when both teams. So I'm a little nervous about that, to be honest. But I'm sure it'll all work out. And you know, everything's under Monumental Sports' roof, so they'll make sure that everything works out for the best of both teams. But I can't help but be a little nervous because of what has gone on in the past. But optimistically nervous is how I would put it. Another note I want to focus on a little bit, want to mention, Philip Grubauer is going to get the start tonight in the net for, our Washington Capitals against the Leafs. I kind of hate to say this, but, this may be the last time we see him because I'm convinced that, George McPhee, when he goes rating in the expansion draft, no pun intended, sorry Oakland, will go after some prominent Capitals players, whoever might be exposed, because he knows them. I would hope that he knows them. He drafted a lot of them. Remember a guy named Philip freaking Forsberg you drafted? Moron. But anyway, I'm pretty sure I got it in my head that Grubauer, unfortunately, is going to be snatched up by the expansion draft when, the vegan golden shower knights do their thing a few months from now. So this, unfortunately, might well be the last time we see him. So enjoy him while you can, folks, because he's, I can almost guarantee it. He's that good. He's been great. And backup goalies are hard to find sometimes, and Gruby's been a pretty good one for us. I've never seen him falter when he's had to come in, and he always, of course, due to the league's rules, he always comes in cold. But yeah, whether he starts or comes in cold, I don't recall seeing him have a bad game in recent memory, and he's asked to do a lot. And there are times where he can go 20, 30 games without a start, because we've got such a great one in Braden Holtby. But whether he is tapped to do backup duty or they think he's going to be good enough to be a starter, yeah, I'm pretty well convinced that this is going to be his last year with the Caps, because he'll get that opportunity to be a starter, I'm sure, very, very soon. So enjoy him while you can. I don't know if he's going to be in any games between tonight and the end of the season, but, yeah, I just wanted to pass along that, because I wanted to give him a kudo and thank him for his contributions, his excellent contributions for this year, while we have that chance to do so. So I can't think of anything else I want to talk about. Next week, by this time, by 1 week's time next week, the season will be over, of course. We will have the playoff seedings and matchups. I will go over in as much depth as I can whoever it is that the Caps will be playing. I'll give a cursory preview of the other seven matchups as I can. I've abandoned the policy of making predictions, but I'm going to try and see if I can give you an idea of how I think those other series are going to shake out. But of course, focus is going to be on the Caps again, as usual. I'll analyze to my best how I expect the series will go. Of course, favorably, we're all hoping, for the Caps, and that'll be that. So, that being the end of things, just want to, end the show on a positive note by saying I like the Caps the way they're playing now. And like I said, keep your eye on the decor. I think, you're going to like what they see. I think they're going to play fairly well. I think they've got things figured out. And hopefully these next few games turn out to be the true litmus test for how the Caps should play going into the playoffs. And next week, I promise you a great analysis. So with that, I'm going to end it right here. Thank you all very much for listening. Welcome my new fans who are out there hopefully listening and downloading. If you have a question, you can send me an email. I've sent my personal email out, glhallowed@yahoo.com. I'm not fooling around anymore. You want to reach me, you want to have a discussion about the Caps, that's where to reach me. I'm also on Facebook and various Caps groups. Look out for the rumpled red hat. I'm also on Twitter at blueliner98, at symbol BLULINER98. Somebody's trying to convince me to get an Instagram account. I don't know about that, but I might consider fooling around with that. But those are the main ways to reach me. I would love to have a discussion. And of course, download the podcast at Blue Liner. That's BLUELINER77.podbean.com. Again, the website is BLUELINER77.podbean.com. I want to thank the folks at Podbean for hosting the podcast again for over 2 years now. They've been a great partner. And now that I've whored myself out enough, going to end the podcast. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's go, Caps.